Good afternoon and welcome to the second to last episode of the full football disclosure. This is game week 37, it's the second to last one, penultimate, and episode 21. I'm joined here by Marty Bailey. How are you?
I'm all right.
Very
thank you.
Very good. So we missed last week, but our players, Liverpool,
they're on holiday, aren't they? They are.
I mean, some of them don't drink, obviously, for religious reasons, so, but they have been probably partying. I mean, you can see the 5 o'clock shadow on a slot. He's been having a good time.
He was in Ibiza, wasn't he?
he was, and they should celebrate.
Absolutely celebrate. I mean, look, I kind of wanted us to do a bit better in the last few games. It looks like, look, he's given some other players a bit of a run out at the end of the season now that it's all wrapped up.
Indeed.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, so he's not going out with a full strength side. I would hope, though, these players that are getting the opportunity do a bit better.
Okay, for context, we obviously this week we faced Brighton. We lost that game. Brighton came back twice to beat us 3-2. But we played well. It was, the first goal, I think, was a class. It was a great goal. You know, for me, seeing that goal was like, Trent, who's leaving? I think Connor Bradley, who's just signed up on a new contract, fantastic. You know, a great player that we've got. And it gives a brand new dimension for on the slot, which it looks like we're going to play in a different way, because now hopefully we should be celebrating Jeremy Frimpong, who is pretty much signed up for Liverpool, hasn't he?
Medical completed. I'm just waiting for it to come through, yeah, which I hope will be today or, the next few days at least.
Exactly. And, although, yes, we lost the game, there were a lot of positives to take away from that game.
Yeah, I think could have been a very different score.
It could have been.
We missed.
Salah missed
Sitter.
A sitter.
Not quite as bad as De Bruyne's sitter, I think.
I haven't seen that. I've heard about it.
But, yeah, apparently that's quite bad. But let's stay on topic. We could have very easily scored another two or three before they scored the goals.
We were making chances.
And I think
exactly
that, yeah, it could have been a very different game. We didn't take our chances.
No.
I think if we had, I think at one point would have been 3-1 up, and I think the game would have been out of...
For me, what a game like that highlights is it was an opportunity for the likes of Gerald Quansah and Harvey Elliott especially to really showcase what they can do, to really show slot, okay, next season, we're going to need you in some of the big games when some of our other players maybe are injured or whatever reason. And it sounds harsh, but do you think Harvey Elliott has a future at Liverpool? Do you think Gerald Quansah, he's still young, has a future at Liverpool?
I think they're both obviously still young.
Mm.
I would like to think they're given a bit more time, or they stick around to give it a bit more of a go. But what worries me is the way that certainly Elliot's been talking.
It's starting to sound a bit like maybe... Looking at his options.
Yeah, maybe he's looking at his options.
Yeah.
Which would be a shame, because he loves the club and you want to see young players who love the club. To be honest, usually when he comes on, he actually does pretty well.
He does an okay job, but I know what you're going
to
say.
No, I think he will usually be able to at least create opportunities, which is what you need when you bring a player on. Mm. I don't think he gets enough game time. I think he needs a bit more game time to get a bit more confidence, and I don't think he's played in the right position,
okay,
personally.
I knew you were going to say that. It's a positional thing for Harvey Elliott, but how old is he? What, 23, 24?
He's like 22, isn't he?
He's still quite young, and I think, obviously, the club will have looked at that and think, years ahead, he's got loads of years ahead, and maybe he isn't the player that we want to lose, but right now, does he offer enough? I think that's a big issue, isn't it? I think for me, in the games that he's come on, he's looked great. There's obviously the PSG winner, but the games that he starts, he just doesn't look, he doesn't have a strong enough presence for me.
Yeah, I still think I would like to see him stay. I don't think he will.
But okay.
I do think
he'll
end up
going. The club will convince him.
Slot, no, because I think Slot doesn't
fancy him.
Yeah, I don't think Slot fancies him and thinks that he's really got a future.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, Slot, as we know, is not afraid to just cut people loose.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think under Slot, is a good chance he's going to end up moving on. Now, I hope that's not the case. I hope Slot looks at it and says, you know what? Let's try some different things and let's see if we can find something that works, because he is a talent.
Yeah.
And we don't really want to lose him. I hope that's what he says.
I don't think
that's going to be the case. I think there's going to be quite a few changes in the summer. Obviously, you talked already about Frimpong coming in. I think
great player.
Not a replacement, or not even really competition for Bradley.
No.
I think ultimately they're as cover, but ultimately to take over from Salah when Salah moves on.
His pace
is incredible.
Incredible.
There was his crossing is awesome.
Have we seen,
as well.
You've seen the goal, obviously. I think the goal that if you type in Jeremy Frimpong, that comes up, it's he's blown someone for pace and he's scored what looks like an open goal from. Looks like a cross, but it's a shot, and it's, you know, look it up if you haven't seen it. It's a great goal, but I completely agree. I think Frimpong gives us another dimension. He will and can play right back or right wing back, so it could be maybe swapping it in and out with Conor Bradley. But I think, let's not forget, African Cup of Nations is next season, obviously. So Salah will be missing for a chunk of that time. You expect, you know, Egypt will be getting. Progressing quite far in that. So I think Frimpong looks like, you know, Salah on a 2-year contract. I think Frimpong to me looks like he's a replacement for Salah in the next couple of years or so.
I think so. Yeah. Absolutely. I think they're quite happy with Bradley. And as you mentioned about what he did in that game, he looks good. He's not afraid to get into the box,
no.
Which is great. He'll go down the flanks. He'll get into the box. He'll have a go if he can. Mm. He'll have a shot. He'll go for goal. Or he'll do a great pass like he did.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you want. So I think ultimately, I think Liverpool see our future with Bradley at right back.
Yes.
I think they do still need to bring... Well, with Frimpong, that gives us that cover we need.
A dimension,
knowing
yeah.
that if Gomez stays, Konsa can also fall into that position. That
Absolutely.
Gives us quite a lot of
yeah.
options.
Yeah.
I think Frimpong is incredibly good business because he is, as you say, a bit of a utility player. He can play right back, he can play right wing. I do think his position will be more attacking.
Yes.
Because that's how he was playing in more of a
Absolutely.
Wing-back role as
yeah.
opposed to a full-back
that's
role
right.
previously. And he likes to get forward. But I think, yeah, great. Yeah. Have him as essentially a replacement for Salah. That gives us 2 years to use him in, you know, whatever position we need to use him in.
And it's
which
a
is good.
5-year contract. He's yeah. at, what, age 24, 25? And
I don't know about yeah. contract details. I just
I think,
know that
yeah,
the medical's been done and everything's
apparently,
good.
Apparently, yeah, it's looking like it's a long contract.
Which is what you want.
Which, exactly. And I think they don't want to fall into a situation, sign him up on a 2 or 3-year contract, obviously. And then a few years' time, it becomes another Trent issue. Let's segue into the booing for Trent. Where'd you stand on that?
Well, I don't think it's necessary.
It's on.
But you already know, we talked about this before. I bear him no ill will. I wish him all the best. I certainly would not boo him.
No.
I think he's got to live his own life and do his own thing.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody wants him to stay, but I mean, come on, you've got to respect what he's already done.
For the
yeah,
club.
For
of
the
course.
Club, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit...
Okay, in terms of the booing, I think the booing is harsh. It's unnecessary. But I think some fans feel as if he has strung the club along for the last, 14, 16 months or so. Apparently, you know, Liverpool have approached him about signing a new contract and he, you know, he's stalled and stalled and stalled. And it's not like, let's go back to another player that signed a contract and big money came in for him and that money was used for the likes of Van Dijk and Alisson, that was Felipe Coutinho.
Mm.
And Trent could have done exactly the same thing. He could have signed a contract and left for big, big money, but he chose not to.
Well, the club could have accepted the offer of money prior
in the summer and yeah. Chris, the January
you know,
transfer window.
And if he's not signing up, I'm sure he'd given them some kind of indication, like you know, I don't think I'm gonna sign this up. He may have been waiting to see what Real Madrid do. So is this a Trent thing, or you know, Real Madrid are kind of just
they've got money. Real Madrid have money. And I mean, they've signed Højlund. They're looking like they're signing someone else. I think it's not a situation where Real Madrid doesn't have money. I know their modus operandi is to wait for players to run down their contracts and get them on a free. But, you know, I know Trent loves the club. He loves the city. But there's that feeling that, you know, he's maybe potentially, he's, you know, strung the club along for about 14 or so months. It's a bit... But the booing is unacceptable. I think it's out of order. And a guy that's done so much for the club.
I mean, you
doesn't
say that,
deserve
nobody
that.
Knows that he's been doing that. That's just what
no,
people think.
That's what we think.
Yeah, exactly.
Think.
So
yeah.
It's like, well, has he? There's a lot of other stuff going
yeah.
on behind the scenes that I'm sure we're not aware of. So I don't want to sit there and say, yeah, I can't imagine why he would do that on purpose.
We'll never speculate. We don't speculate. Okay, so is that it? We're done with Liverpool. Should we move on?
Yeah,
we're not done with Liverpool. We're never done with Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to talk about all the results, do we?
The
really?
Results. Okay, that's
not
it.
Not getting to scores too
much. End of the episode.
Much.
That was a quick episode. No. Let's move on to, for me, best game this last week that I saw was the FA Cup final. Surprise. You love to see it, don't you?
Do love to see it.
You love to see it. The underdog. It's the year of the underdog. It's the year of the snake, but others have called it the year of the underdog. Newcastle, Palace. Can you count Liverpool winning the Premier League?
I think it's completely the year that nobody in a million years would have ever predicted. Like the stuff that's happened this year is insane, isn't
it? Indeed.
I mean, yes, Palace winning, what, their first ever?
First
major
ever.
Trophy?
Absolutely, first ever.
Against Man City.
Man
of all
City,
teams,
yeah. The juggernaut.
Which is incredible. Mm-hmm. You've got Manchester United and Tottenham scrapping it out at like 16th, 17th place or whatever.
I'm sorry for a lot.
No, you laugh away. They're languishing down in
14th.
Basically
15th and 16th. No,
16-17. 16-17. If it wasn't for Southampton, Ipswich, and Leicester being so bad, they'd be in a relegation battle. So I mean, yes, you've got to laugh, but at the same time, they're both in a cup final as well.
Europa League.
I know,
that's the level. That's just the level after the Champions League. That's insane.
It's insane. Absolutely insane. Anyway, I'd say you could. You just couldn't write the things that happened. No. Nobody thought Liverpool would win the league.
Couldn't predict.
I mean,
that.
Forest were touted certainly by Carragher to be going down.
Down.
Which you know clearly they're not.
They will be getting Europe. Yeah.
Looking like they're going to get could possibly get Europe. Although it's very tight up the top. I mean, anything can happen there. And yeah, you just don't know, do you? You have no idea what's going to happen.
But did you watch the FA Cup final? I love the FA Cup. I've got a weird sentimentality towards it. You know, it's an old competition. You know, and that's what you love to see. You want to see the underdogs. And, you know, Palace played a great game. You know, for the first, I think, 20 minutes before they scored their goal. It was a 1-0 win, by the way. It was a very well-deserved 1-0 win. It was all City. It was all City. And somehow Palace just struck him. Surprise! It was a sucker punch, essentially. And, you know, you've got Eze. It was a great, you know, great finish. It's the same combination, you know, Munoz on the wing. I think they were all involved. It was Mateta, Munoz, Eze, goal. It's, you know, I think my mouth was open thinking, what have I just seen? And can they hold on to it? Of course, they can hold on to it. And they, you know, Pep... You know, this is what, first time in 7-8 years not winning a cup? That's incredible.
Yeah, not winning anything.
Not winning anything, yeah.
This is what teams need to do when they come up, that kind of cup mentality.
Mm.
You do whatever it takes to win, okay?
Absolutely.
So if you've got to defend for, you know, 88 minutes of a game,
mm-hmm.
right, and then you've got a couple of minutes where you just do a little bit of magic, then that's what you
that's
do,
it,
isn't it?
That's it, exactly.
You've got to be able, you know, you've got to be proud. I mean... I think Palace have always had a reputation going back to the Hodgson days, right? Of being able to hunker down when they need to, right?
When they need to.
And grind results out. And I think that's obviously still there, isn't it?
Indeed.
So fine, fair play to them. Absolutely. If you know what? First ever trophy.
It's
be ecstatic. And you know,
they should celebrate.
You. I love the underdog story. So yes, you're always rooting for the team you don't expect to win. But again, nobody's put, I don't think, well, maybe some people are putting money on it, but I mean...
Mm.
Yeah,
you don't see that, do you?
No.
Apparently, Pep has come out telling the Manchester City board he wants a small squad next season. He said he can't deal with 20 squads of 25 or 20 something players. You know, he doesn't want you know, having five or six players in the same position fighting. He wants a small squad. I think apparently, you know, he's made his demands. Like, if he doesn't get a small squad next season, he leaves. That seems to be quite unlike Pep, you know,
it's like the opposite of what every other coach wants, isn't it?
Yeah,
every other coach is like, okay,
give me a big squad.
Yeah, we need a bigger squad. We need depth.
But he doesn't know. He wants a small squad. And you can see, you know, City will have a lot of changes next season. But again, what's going on with the Chargers?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, that's an interesting thing because haven't Leicester just been charged?
I believe they are.
So it was like
for 23-24 season, wasn't it, for financial breach? So
and how far back is the Man City one?
Oh, start of time.
I mean, I know it's a lot. It's a lot of charges, but why don't they just do it in groups of 10? So let's assess these 10, right? What is it? Any there? No. Okay, fine. We move on to the next 10. I mean, why is it still nothing happening? When you know, you've had Everton have been charged.
It's either going to be
Leicester have been charged for something that happened in the Championship.
Exactly.
By the way.
Oh gosh, I honestly think it's either going to be huge, unprecedented, or they get away with it. But anyway, we don't know. I want to move on to Mikel Arteta. This is my mates that listen. I'm so sorry. They keep telling me, you're obsessed with Arsenal. I'm not obsessed with Arsenal. I'm obsessed with the guy that's been at a club for 7 or 8 years and has won one FA Cup. One FA Cup. Yes, granted, it's the FA Cup. It's a great trophy, but it was in a COVID year, so let's not forget that. Arteta is in, what, phase 60 of the Arteta plan or whatever? You know, we know what Arteta needs. It's a striker, obviously, but they're looking at Zubimendi, another holding midfielder. If Arteta, for me, I think he's under pressure next season. If he doesn't win anything, and it's another, I don't want to call it a mediocre top four finish, but if it's another top four finish, you could bring Arsene Wenger back. That's what Arsene Wenger was doing on a regular basis, getting top four. I think Arteta should be under pressure.
I don't know what the Arsenal board and people behind the scenes want. Mm. They are a pretty stable club. I mean, I don't know what the fans want either.
Granted, Arteta is a massive responsibility for making them, bringing that stability from
And I think if that's what the fans are happy with, and if that's what the board are happy with, then it's probably going to carry on, isn't it?
Mm.
It's when does it get to the point where fans, because once the fans start turning and saying, you know what, actually, you know, it's, come on, we kind of want to win something. I mean, but they're very optimistic. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen soon. But then how
soon? I mean, remember, we've been through this. You know, it was always next season. We'll win the Premier League next season. Granted, I mean, obviously we were winning Champions Leagues and FA Cups in that period of time and Europa Leagues in that time. But for us, the bread and butter was always the Premier League, and it was always next season for us, And, you know, for Arsenal, it's neither. It's not like they're winning FA Cups. It's not like they're winning League Cups. They're not, you know, they're getting top four. Okay, fine.
Well, they're getting runners up.
Oh, yeah, runners up. You know,
and you still get a medal for it, though.
You do. You get a silver medal. There we go. But, I mean, for me, I think it's, you have a player like Saka. I think one of the best players of his generation. It would be criminal for Saka not to win anything. To go, you know, an entire career and Saka wins nothing at Arsenal. That would be, come on, Arsenal supporters.
Is he going to stay there for his whole career, do you think?
I think so.
Really?
I think I would see him there. I think, where else would he go? Liverpool?
I take him.
I'll take him, of course, yeah. But where do you see Saka? And Saka doesn't
go to Real Madrid as well.
Well, there we go.
There we go.
There we go.
See, it's written.
He can win, so he'll win stuff there.
Yeah, exactly. He'll win stuff there. 100%. Anyway. Look, I mean, again, it comes down to the person. If you're just happy playing for the club you love, you're getting paid, you know, a decent amount of money, then fine, isn't it? I guess it's up to them. But I mean, if he has ambition and it goes on for another two seasons, three seasons. No, but again, 3 seasons down the line, there's still no trophies. Still no more trophies. Gosh. I mean, you're right. At what point do people then start saying, okay, we maybe need to make some changes here.
He's in phase 100 of the Arteta plan, but he's won nothing. Come on, guys. Anyway, let's Jamie Vardy. He's having a party. He's leaving. He's retired. Is he retired?
I don't think he's retired. No.
No, he's pushing 40, isn't he? Right.
He's not that old.
He's okay. 40 is not old. Let's make that clear. 40 is the new, in football terms, probably the new 35.
Yeah, I think so.
You'd argue that, right?
He's fitter now, right?
I think he looks a lot longer.
Yeah, I think he can go a lot longer. And look, even if he doesn't do it at the top level, he can always drop down.
Drop down
some divisions.
It's when Wrexham? Your body,
yeah, who knows? Who knows? Maybe.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Jamie Vardy.
The thing about Wrexham is they're not afraid to kind of push the boundaries of what kind of player they can get in. I mean, they've been punching above their weight with players since they were in non-league football. So it's like, right, I'll tell you what, we're going to get a player two divisions above. They need to if they want to go up to the Prem, they need to get Premier League players, ex-Premier League players in. So, and they most certainly are looking to go up as soon as possible.
I think so. I mean,
look at what they've done.
The timeline for them has been promotion, and now it could be the only team
to ever get back-to-back promotions.
Yeah, so, I mean, here's a list. Just a few notable names of players who are out of contract. Jorginho, leaving Arsenal. Thomas Partey, that's an interesting one. Tarek Lamptey, Brighton. I mean, come on. You can see that. I can see that happening. James Milner is out of contract. Oh, yeah.
He'd be a good person to have in for his experience and, exactly, you know, the calmness that he brings.
Ben Mee, out of contract with Brentford. Nathaniel Clyne. We've got Everton have a litany of players. Calvert-Lewin, Doucouré, Michael Keane, Ashley Young.
Geez, he's still around.
He's still around. He's remember, he's 40, 41.
He's
new 35, remember? We've got so many players. Obviously, Jamie Vardy, we've mentioned. Trent Alexander-Arnold. Do you see him at Wrexham?
I don't think he's going to give up his Real Madrid move to go to Wrexham. No.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, that would be incredible business.
Callum Wilson. I mean, these are some big, big names, some big players. We've got Kyle Walker-Peters for Adam Lallana.
Lallana would be a decent signing. I think Calvert-Lewin in the Championship
as well.
I don't know. I'm not sure if he can cut it in the Premier League anymore. It's a bit like Dwight Gayle. He used to play for Newcastle, didn't he? Back in the day.
Yes.
Incredible in the Championship. Rips it up every
and then
time
comes
he's there,
up.
Comes up. Yeah, doesn't really do anything.
But then drops back down.
Drops back down and he's on it again.
He's,
I mean, he's a Championship.
It's kind of like Norwich, isn't it?
He can't cut
in the Premier League.
I think he could absolutely. Calvert-Lewin could absolutely be like that.
Yeah.
I think he'd do well in the Championship. He'd be a decent.
I think so. Anyway, let's watch that space that Wrexham, who they sign in the summertime.
There'll be mass signings.
There'll be a lot of signings. Jared Bowen. I want to talk about Jared Bowen for a bit. He has been single-handedly, I think, carrying West Ham. I think he's got what? In a row? He's definitely on like at least 4 or 5, if not 7 goals in a row. You know, some of these games West Ham have lost, but Jared Bowen, what a player. He scored a great goal in the weekend, just to highlight. Kind of like flicks it up and just volleys it. It's a brilliant goal. But he scores that goal, but he looks frustrated. He looks almost angry. And, I mean, what is he angry with? I guess it's probably West Ham. But, Jared Bowen is a player that, I could see him at, could have seen him at a bigger club, but he just never really made that move.
Yeah, I mean, whether that will happen at some point in time. I mean, I can't imagine why bigger teams, I mean, no disrespect to West Ham, because they've got, they're a team with a lot of history.
Yeah.
But they've not been about it for quite a while now, have they?
No.
There'll be a lot of teams, I'm sure, sniffing around and saying, is there any interest?
But if
he's, maybe he's just a loyal guy, he wants to stay there, and that's, respect that. That's fair enough.
Maybe.
But we talked about West Ham last week, and I think they've got a decent manager.
Potter.
I think next season, again, it's going to be one of those, look, we have to be making progress.
They have to.
We have to be making decent. They need to be smart on who they sign, because we said this before.
It's been
as
their
well.
Issue, hasn't it?
Yeah, they're just so inconsistent with the signings that they make.
They seem to get it wrong.
They don't get a lot right, do they? And I think they need to figure that out. So maybe investing behind the scenes in a technical director, somebody who has got a good eye for a signing, sorting the scouting team out, and then figuring that aspect out is probably the way forward.
Yeah.
Usually get things right behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And that's certainly what happened to us.
Yeah, indeed.
We didn't start really making things happen until we sorted things out behind the scenes. And then smart signings, smart transfers. And just being run in a smart way. I think they need to go there.
Yeah.
And then see what happens. But they've got to be at least pushing for mid-table to top table next year, haven't they?
I mean, bear in mind, they won the Conference League, 2 seasons ago? We forget that, don't we? Anyway, let's talk about putting the flag up. Refs that don't put the flag up, they let play go on. And Taiwo Awoniyi, who ruptured his intestines and he was put in an induced coma because refs have been told, let play go on, despite the fact it's a clear offside. And they've mentioned this previously, former FM players have mentioned this. It will lead to an injury. If you know it's offside, put the flag up. And it's led to this happening. I don't understand what the rule is, what the rationale is, letting play go on, waiting for them to score a goal and then putting your flag up. It's a waste of time.
Well, no, because if they're unsure and then... there's a goal scoring opportunity. It's only because of VAR. Oh. I mean, I didn't see it, but it's only because of VAR, isn't it? Because if they do go ahead and then they score, the flag then goes up, it will then be checked.
Yeah.
And quite often the flag goes up and it is, in fact, a legitimate goal.
It was clear as day.
The problem before is that what you'd have is the flag would go up, it would go offside, they then check it, it's not offside, and they could well have been in and got a goal. So it's benefit to the attacking team, which, again, we have said.
Yeah.
I like that personally, because
give them
more benefit because you want to see more goals,
yeah,
more exciting games.
You don't want to see injuries, of course.
No, you don't want to see injuries, but I mean, injuries do happen. This is football, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed.
So, I mean, it's just one of those unfortunate things. Hopefully, mm-hmm. he's going to be okay.
We
I think he's
so.
Through the worst of it, right?
Yeah,
I think,
yeah,
because he was in induced coma,
indeed,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's through the worst of it. So, hopefully, he'll make a speedy recovery. But at the end of the day, injuries are going to happen. I'm not sure you can blame that on...
The refs?
The
I don't know. I think, for me, I think it goes back to... You know, something we've spoken about this season is the inconsistency from referees not being clear on handballs, not being clear on offsides, not being clear on just about everything in their own rule book. And, you know, the flags up then, you know, sometimes they put the flag up, sometimes they don't. And it's just, you know, we need clear consistency. I think the refs need to go and do some kind of professional development over the summer to be clear on these things. And, you know, we don't want to see players getting injured. We want to see good flowing football, of course. But we don't want to see things like that happening from, you know, silly decisions. But anyway, like you said, he's through the worst of it. But I think it's another talking point from inconsistent refs.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, consistency is important throughout decision making.
Dean Henderson should have been sent off in the FA Cup final. Probably. Did he deny Haaland a goal scoring opportunity? You know, the way they saw it, it wouldn't have led. He was moving away from goal. I mean, that's a whole other thing. Whereas in other games in the past, that's a sending off. I think we've had that previously where Alisson was sent off for a handball on the outside. And again, it's consistency, refs. Be a bit consistent.
Sort it out.
Finally, let's talk about Goodison, a place where we've enjoyed going to win. Can't win at Goodison anymore. I guess we'll have to beat Everton in their new home. Do you know what it's called? It's got
I can't remember.
Interesting name. It's not important.
Oh, it's named after a person.
It's named after a person, yeah. It's moved by the docks, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So, did you watch the Everton game?
No.
there was a lot of blue, a lot of flares and everything. I did spot some red flares in there. I'm guessing that's some cheeky Liverpool supporters just trying to, put a dampener in the party. But it's been a good stadium. I think Goodison Park. So I think I wanted to, you know, as a Liverpool supporter, say, you know, goodbye Goodison. You know, thank you for all of the lovely memories. Thank you for Steven Gerrard goals, the hat tricks we've scored, the late winners from our part. It's not a lot of Everton wins at Goodison, have there? And I mean, in the modern era, have there? No, not really. But goodbye Goodison. We'll really miss beating you there.
But in fairness to Everton, let's talk about them as a team. They've been better, haven't they?
They've been better since Moyes. I mean, how long can Moyes stay there? Will he be in his 70s or his 80s still managing Everton? Because they don't need to move forward. Like I said, you know, if you look at the list of teams with players out of contract, Everton have clearly the longest list, and it's 11, 12 players.
Complete clear out, isn't it?
It's a clear out. Neil Maupay, he's there. Remember him?
Yeah, he's played for Brighton.
Yeah, Holgate. It's
new stadium.
Yeah,
new team. I think, isn't it? Fresh start. I think that's the point of it. Isn't
they
it?
Want to balance the books
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, they've got to balance the books. They've got a lot more capacity in the new stadium, so that'll be a lot more income for next season.
Yeah, what is it, 50,000 capacity, 50-something?
Something like that. So, yeah, more income, great for them. And then a new team, and I guess it's like come onwards and upwards for them. That's what they need to be thinking about, because they haven't been... they haven't been good for a while, have they, let's be honest.
I mean, they've been lucky to avoid relegation these last 5 years, if not longer. But yeah, let's see what happens next season. It's going to be a good season.
It's going to be a really interesting
season. It's going to be an interesting season. But yeah, next week is Tears, last game of the season, game week 38. Yeah,
I know.
What we're going to be doing, we're going to be twiddling our thumbs until
just
August.
Just looking waiting. For transfer. Yeah, just looking at the information. Checking out the rumours, maybe getting a little bit excited and then disappointed.
And then disappointed, yeah, exactly.
You know what it's like over the summer. I can't wait for the season to start again.
It's always going to be players that you've never heard of. I think the Liverpool transfer method, you'll think it will be this person.
Well, the Frimpong one, in fairness,
I mean,
there's been a lot of rumours going around about that, and that looks like it's happening.
I think the problem with that is, not problem, but we know what the Liverpool model is. We don't sign players over, you know, 24, 25.
I'm not seeing De Bruyne come in then.
I don't think so.
I'll be very surprised. We'll give you a couple of years.
I'll be very surprised. But saying that, the Salah and the Van Dijk signing up of the contracts was also a bit of a surprise as well. So you never know.
You never know.
You never know. No. And he would, you know, fill in an area that Trent has been, you know, filling in for us in the last few years. So I think you never know. Never say never. Anyway, on that note, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Right.